On this day of our Lord, will you pray with me? Dearest God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This second Sunday of Easter is an interesting one on the church calendar. Our Holy Week services from the anticipation of shouted hosannas on Palm Sunday to tenebrae darkness on Good Friday, and then our Easter worship celebration move us to the depths and to the heights of what it means to be a believer in an ancient story of a timeless man. Jesus the Christ. In this season between Easter and Pentecost, sometimes called Eastertide, the celebration of new life in the world around us and in the truth of an empty tomb can continue with each emerging flower and leaf and insight and prayer. This is a time for reconsideration and renewal of many things around the great good news of death denied and our sins, our mistakes forgiven. It is a time to think again of our place in the world, our way of being in the world, who we say we are within it. Who do I say I am? Calls us to countless answers, some quite straightforward. I am a mother of four, a grandmother of three, a church program director, a friend, and on and on. I am white. I am privileged. I am a homeowner. I am assured of food and a recipient of good health care. I am the bearer of many scars. I am familiar with loss. Each of us has many answers to this question. Some are not just factual. Take, for example, I am a believer in God and love and peace and joy, but truly might time and circumstance play a part in this description? In the passage from Matthew that Ellery just read, Jesus answers this identity question for us. You are the light of the world. Am I? Am I always? These questions can also be part of our reflection together today. Am I the light of the world only when it's easy to shine? Those times when my life is going smoothly, when I have few worries, when my schedule is easy, when I don't have some other seemingly more important goal. Maybe this is also a good time to reflect on what it means to shine as a light in this world. This light Jesus named could be a compilation of his actions and lessons while here on earth. Shine by loving your God and your neighbor as yourself. Shine by noticing and helping and healing God's people, even those no one likes, those who are bullied, those who others avoid. The children who sit alone in the lunchroom at school, the adults who are caught in uncaring places, jobs, neighborhoods, relationships, and do not have a friend. all of God's people who make mistakes, all who are betrayed by their minds in mental illness, all who are powerless against an addiction. Be a light for them. Shine by sharing and congratulating and putting aside competition as a winner or a loser in the games this world plays with our worth. Shine when your heart is broken. Shine to forgive and find a way back to peace and joy, understanding forgiveness in a lived, general, broad, and restorative way. Being a light in the world is not an easy task. Again and again, we can find ourselves far from shining, even when we really want that to be who we are. This can be a struggle of contrasts. I believe in life everlasting and in the hope of our individual resurrections into whatever comes next. And I am sometimes terrified for my family and for all of us in this world of random harm. Fear can take away truth and light. I believe in peace, and I am sometimes at war in my thoughts with strangers around political issues, finding it impossible to see their positions they hold with certainty and passion equal to that with which I hold mine. The fear vibrating through this reality can block all communication and light. Some are even writing now that people on both sides of the great divide in our country fear each other equally. Let me say that again. Some are even writing now that people on both sides of the great divide in our country fear each other equally, a double guard against light and shining. I would like us to move away from the cliff I was just leading us toward and try an exercise that might help us all avoid going anywhere near it and also help us in going back to our original question, who do I say I am? Let's take our place in a story, a scene or two, and see what we can learn about our answers. The first is the parable Jesus told of the vineyard workers. The owner of a vineyard needed many workers and hired many at many times during the day. The workers lined up near the place where hiring was done. Some were hired first at dawn, some at noon, some at 3, some at 5, some last, just 1 hour before quitting time. The owner paid each man the same amount. He said all the workers had wanted to work, but weren't chosen. They had all stayed in line all day. He said that in his generosity, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first to those who grumbled. This parable is thought to have been about the equal love for those who knew God early and those who found God later. But let's stay with the money factor for our consideration. Would "I am the light of the world" apply to you if you were one of the workers hired first? Would you have been kind to your fellow workers and the owner or not? Would light or the darkness of comparison and envy be who you were. Or consider this setting. It's a UPS store on a morning near Christmas. Two clerks, 15 people waiting. There was barely anywhere to stand inside the store. Tension was growing. It was almost palpable. People looked stern. They weren't smiling, and they were protective of their territory and their place in line. When the 16th person came through the door and said, "Oh, good, I was afraid I had missed the party." His shining led to collective laughter and instant community, just the reset we all needed. Could you have been light in that way? Have you been? Amid all the circumstances that surround a well-lived life and a life of faith, many of our self-definitions can be aspirational. We all want to shine then and there, right then and there, and we try again and again. A related thing Jesus emphasized comes to mind. Love your family, love your friends, love people who agree with you, and then try loving your enemies. That may be a lifelong aspiration. Here is one more story. One of the characters in this story was an unskilled, athletic underachiever most of her life. Always picked last for any sport involving balls or sticks, basically all of them. Seldom off the bench. Once she was called off the bench, and she almost caught a fly ball, but it bounced off her glove and bounced to the ground, and she lost the game. Ugh. And then a discovery. Running truly involved just tying your shoes securely and staying upright well. You could run on a course and get to the end, sometimes meeting or surpassing your time goal. You could run for many different distances and make it to the end, where after some distances, a volunteer would hand you a Mylar blanket because you were shivering, and a banana because you looked terrible in that way past being exhausted kind of way, and a medal of all things. So our character became pretty determined around this set of novel athletic experiences. She worked hard to set and make goals of distance and time. Running became important, maybe too important. The verdict was still out on one way she described herself. Would her "I am a helper" hold up on a race course? One morning in Nashville, Tennessee, on a Boston Marathon qualifying course, the race was going well. I was hoping to qualify. It was my runner's dream. I was plotting my path around people to maintain my hoped-for pace. It was at a familiar time in the race, a very quiet time on that typical part of the course where there are no spectators. It was in those few miles through a deserted industrial area needed to make the course miles total. It was difficult to find 6.2 miles in a city. In this part of the race, all you could hear was the cadence of shoes on asphalt. A focus, a rhythm, a goal. Go, 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 go. I was in a very big hurry. And then I saw him. He was running slowly. I was planning to pass him on the left. Then as I got closer, I saw he had a photograph taped to his back. I still planned to pass him. There was open space ahead of him. When getting closer still, I noticed he was dragging his right foot a bit, a sure sign of stopping soon. And I could read the words below that photograph. I am running for my daughter. She died in the first tower. Who do I say I am? Who do I say I am? We finished together just before they opened the course to traffic, long past my time goal. This will always be my most precious running memory. He was the light of the world, and I will always remember him running and sometimes walking and crying and shining. Amen.